solstice. Gather round the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Like rebels without a clue, the witches dish on experiences they've discovered and shared, and talk about what brand new events are on the horizon. Join the trio in the first of two episodes filled with good intentions, pioneer experiences, and new frontiers. And now, Shelley, Daryl, and Lisa.
Hey everybody, welcome to Witchy Wednesday. It is the podcast Good Witch, Bad Witch, featuring Lisa Brown, the Bad Witch.
Hi.
And her hubby, Daryl Brown, the Man Witch. And myself. I am Shelley Majors. I'm your good witch. Heidly ho. We've got a good show for you today. We came up with things 2 days ahead of time instead of 1 day ahead of time. And it's kind of fun if you are interested in the process. We discuss ideas now that I have a new manicure schedule. So yeah. I've been going on Mondays and Tuesdays. Now we record on Wednesday and then we all talk about what we want to do. So anyway, today we have a lot of fun things to talk about, mostly about discoveries and first times of doing things and things that we want to discover and want each other to discover, things that we think we were the first. But before that, it has been such a kooky week. We didn't record last week because we both had special events. And as usual, Lisa and Daryl have some wacky stories. Everywhere they go, they run into hijinks. And who wants to go first?
Me and Lisa are like flypaper. Everything attracts to us.
You're magnets for mayhem.
I tell you, yeah. And with mayhem, can I go ahead and do mine first? Yeah. That way I get mayhem out of the way. So yesterday, we're traveling into work like we always do, or when I do go into work, but I spend a lot of time out here. But we're going down Highway 2. Lisa's asking me a question about how we should divide up our two of our grandkids' little graduation things from, you know, kindergarten and elementary school, this and that, or junior high. And she goes, so what do you think about that? And I'm driving, and I go, I think I'm getting pulled over. And she goes, what? And I go, yeah, that cop just whipped a Yui, and he's right on me now. And so she's all doing the tweaker look in the mirrors and this and that. And I go, don't be looking in the mirrors, dude. I go, that's a giveaway. I got pot in here. No. So we're driving, and I get off Highway 2 to turn on to go to East 88th. And right then, boom, sure enough, the lights flip on, and I'm like, okay, here it comes. I have not been pulled over by a God for years. I mean, forever. So
for years, like 2 years, 10 years,
oh,
20
God,
years?
It's been probably 20-some years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I pull over, and I look, and there's two young cops, but they're coming to the passenger side of the car.
Well, they didn't want to get hit by a car.
That makes sense, because that is kind of a busy little area right there. So we roll down the window, and he looks in, and he goes,
were you wearing pants?
I was wearing shorts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
What's that?
I don't know. Sometimes people drive around, they're not wearing pants. Just wanted to know if you were ready for it.
Oh, yeah, I was ready. So I hand Lisa my license, and he goes, you know...
Your what?
My license.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a learner's permit.
They're different things, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's so, not a license yet, is
so
it?
It's so funny. So Lisa hands in my learner's permit. It's actually, it looks like a license, but it says right there, it says learner's permit.
Lucky there was an adult in the car.
Thank God for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she hands him that, and she is more nervous than me, guys. She's all shaking.
I was shaking,
she's trying
yeah.
to pull up the insurance on the phone, and she's like, 1 second here. Oh, well, that's for the other car.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because our license plates are expired, and that's my fault. So if you would have gotten a ticket for that, it would have been my fault.
It's our fault. The car's both of ours. So
well, that's
yeah.
very sweet but for you to say right now.
I was speeding, not the fact that you had some dumbass expired plates. But anyway, so the cop, it was funny. He goes, so you were doing 55 and a 45? And I'm like, yeah. I go, what I was trying to do, officer, I said, I was trying to get out of the way of everybody trying to run me over on Highway 2, and he kind of laughed, because they do.
It's fast.
They do. I said, and
nobody does 45.
Nobody does 45 there, and I said, and 104th is just as bad, and he goes, yeah, I know what you're saying. So she gives him the insurance, and he looks at everything, and I think once the guy's seen... You know, here's this old geezer, almost 57 years old, and he's got a learner's permit.
Well, and then tell him also what you said. Well, he goes, what do you guys...
He goes, so what are you guys up to today? And I go, well, we're just heading into work. And I go, well, how about you? And he kind of looks at me and giggles like, what am I doing?
I'm
pulled over.
Yeah.
So, you know, he goes back to his car, and then he just walks back, and he comes back. He goes, you know, I'm just going to let you go with a warning. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, he pours SAP 57 almost, and you still have a learner's permit. He's a little special. Should he be behind the wheel, ma'am? So, you know, and I go, oh, I appreciate you. Thank you. And then Lisa out of nowhere goes, we do Denver's Best Podcast. My wife's...
You guys are always selling it.
Well, yeah. My wife's more nervous than me, I swear to God. And the guy goes, oh, really? What's it about? And we go, it's about anybody and everything. I said, we don't discriminate. We make fun of everybody. And he goes, well, here's my card. Roast me on the show. And I go, oh, no. I said, I won't roast you. I said, you know, that... I said, and he goes, and remember, to do 45 on that. And I said, I'm sorry. Like I said, I was just trying to get out of everybody else's way. And so I would like to give a shout out to one of Commerce City's best. And I say best because... I haven't met any others that ever let me go from a ticket, so I'm going to say best to Jonathan Carey, officer.
And he could be a doctor too. We don't Carey. Know.
Yeah, hey, well, maybe he's.
How do you know he isn't a doctor?
That's right.
Doctor.
We didn't get that far.
Yeah, so there's doctor lawyers. What about
officer? Why are you gloving up? It's just a simple road citation.
PhD of speedology.
And he was quite handsome. Him
and his partner, they were younger looking guys, or you know, because I am older. But yeah, I was like, no, he was. Very cool. And yeah. I was like, wow, because you know, that would have been a pretty hefty ticket, 55 and a 45. So
and I go, and so Daryl goes, he goes, oh, that was really cool. I go, hurry and go before they notice our plates are
dying. No shit.
He's like, put the pedal to the metal, we got bad plates.
He's like, I can't speed.
The hot cop was probably on his way to a bachelorette party.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, he wasn't even a cop, he was just a stripper.
Uh-huh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Doctor like, stripper.
Well, hey, I've got Velcro pants, it's really scratchy out here.
I think the funny thing about it was I didn't think really he was going to come after me, because I was going, and seriously, I got in the other lane to get out of a way of a guy that flew by me.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to have been doing at least 60. Yeah. But he just said, oh, that old guy, let's get him.
But maybe then, in our Get Out of our Comfort Zone episode later, mm-hmm. Well, I'll write a letter to the city of Commerce City and be like, 45, really? I mean, it's basically a highway. What are we doing?
I don't even think that. It's more like... people just watch us. You know, like...
Yeah, let's all have good judgment.
Right.
See how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so that was my exciting... what would you call it? Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday.
Congratulations on your narrow escape from the long arm of the law.
Let's just get that real license.
Yeah. When does it expire? In August,
In
right?
August, yeah.
Yeah, so let's start working on that.
Okay. Lisa, did you put in for new plates for your registration?
Not yet. That's right after I make my MRI appointment.
Okay. We've got things to do. There's a list.
Okay. So on Saturday, so this week has been, again, like you said, a little
Ventress.
Crazy and stuff. On Friday, we had the funeral of Sarah Haywood, which was our friend that we talked about on You Should Be Here. I put it on the Facebook that she was missing since 2022, and they did discover that her body was the one that was found at Thornton High School in 2022, October 2022, and it was just identified this last month. So they finally had a remembrance for her and a goodbye ceremony, I guess. And so that was Friday. Then on Saturday, we had a wedding and a graduation party. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the wedding because it's been a long time since I've been touched. Like, well, now I feel that just came out really, really bad.
How many uncles you got?
Okay.
Was Officer Jonathan Carey there, too?
I was very, very, very touched by this ceremony.
Emotional.
Emotionally touched.
Yes, there you go.
So if you guys are longtime listeners, or even if you're not, go back to listen to episode 5. And that was our friend Candina Cruz, and it's called Lay Your Hands on Me. And she talked about, she does spiritual healing, Reiki, and stuff like that. But she also spoke about her sister Nori, who was in a motorcycle accident over 20 years ago, quite some time ago, 25 years ago, and has a very bad brain injury. But she is also, I mean, I don't want to like to not sound like frickin' Keith Morrison or whatever. She's a ray of light. Her smile, you know, lights up a room.
But
every
it's all true.
Single cliche you can say, this is completely true. This girl just eludes sunshine. And she is the sweetest, gentlest, most spirit that you've ever known. So Nori met her now husband, her groom, at the a house called Wildflowers that they both live at. And it's like an assisted living home, but it's like in a house, you know, like it's really nice. And they have a common room and a craft room. And apparently there's several different Wildflowers. And Candina told me that quite some time ago, they've been a kindred spirit since the day, and it was in 2009 when they met. At one point, Jesus was moved to a different Wildflowers, and recently he's been moved back. But even when he was at the other one, whenever the bus would come to pick them up for
field trips
and craft days and going to the park and stuff like that, he would run into the house and be the first person to go grab Nori and make sure, and she just kissed his hand. And
she's in a wheelchair
and he'd roll her out, and they were inseparable. You could not, and every time they see each other, it's just magic. So about, I'm going to say 9 months ago, maybe, he actually had somebody take him to the mall, and he bought a ring, and he proposed to her. And so they set up this really big, extravagant wedding, and it was amazing. It was, we'll have to put up pictures on the Facebook, but it was completely wonderful. I asked Candina if I could get a copy of their vows, so that, just because they were so amazing, they wrote them themselves, and they both have brain injuries, so you guys just take that in mind. But Nori's vows to Jesus was, "Jesus, I promise to be by your side, and I will always hold your hand. I love you now, and I will love you always. Thank you for being my best friend." Jesus's vow to Lenora was, "Nori, I hope that we will be a nice couple. I want to get along okay, and I think we will. I think you have a great personality. I never see you mad or say bad words. I promise to always have Dr. Pepper in our home, and I will be your best friend, because if not, it will hurt like a frying pan to the head." I thought it was amazing.
Now that's love.
So, you know. Also, Nori had a baby right before her accident. I can't remember how old he was, but I'm pretty sure he was under 1 year old. And he spoke at their wedding, because he's in his 20s now. And the way she looks at him, how attentive she was to him talking. Oh my gosh, it was just...
Jesus. He was looking at him like, you know, and then he hugged him.
He said, you know... He said, "Jesus, take care of Nori." And Jesus said, "I really, really love her." Oh. And stuff. And so, and he goes, "I know you do, Betty." And it was just, oh my God, you guys, it was just, it's been a long time since I actually thought that there was a higher power. And I was like, this is whoever that higher power is, put them on earth to show us what unconditional
love is. Yeah, I mean, that's true love. And the cool thing about it is, her son's about to get married.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How nice.
Yeah, so that was neat, too.
But the sincerity and the sweetness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can't fake that.
Well, it was also kind of funny, too, because while Kevin, Nori's son, was talking, Jesus had a Dr. Pepper, and they had given Nori some Pedialyte, because she gets...
that was still funny.
She gets dehydrated very easily. And while Kevin was talking, Nori switched them.
she handed him her sippy cup of Pedialyte.
Yeah, she had a sippy cup of Pedialyte and gave
it to Jesus. She grabbed the Dr. Pepper, and I was like, no, that.
Right on.
We know who rules the roost already,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and she kind of just patted his hand.
Yeah.
Like mine.
Mine.
So that was my great thing that happened this week. And
I'm not trying to tell you how to tell your story, but would you add one more detail to that I thought was so nice? When their mother was there and you caught a precious moment there?
I did. So, you know, it just goes to show you that, like, your mom... There's something always special about your mom being your mom, and that, you know, that you're always your mom's baby, no matter, you know, what your circumstances are like, what your brain is doing, how old you are, how young you are, you know, how physically fit or maybe a little bit handicapped you might be. Your mom is always your mom. And it's her sister Candina has been taking care of her for quite some time, because her mom moved to New Mexico. But her mom came in for the wedding, and Candina had been telling me that when anybody tells Nori, you know, oh, I really like your earrings, Nori says, oh, my mom got them for me and stuff. And
so proud.
Oh, yeah. And stuff. And Candina's like, no, she didn't. I got those for you. And she goes, no, my mom, you know, and stuff. And then she'll be like, oh, you know, are you making a craft? Is that for Candina? Is that for your sister? And she goes, no, my mom. And stuff. So she like is always like, it's always about her mom. And Candina's
Candina
like,
can't
screw
win.
You, bitch. You know, like, I'm the one who takes care of you. And so I looked over at one point and Gina had Nori in her arms almost like a baby and stuff, and she was singing to her, and
I think she was singing You Are My Sunshine.
I think,
oh,
she
my god,
yeah.
And it just melted in my heart, because it's just like, you know, no matter what happens, it how long it's been, how, you know, I don't know, there's just something about somebody's...
Well, the thing of it is too, you, when people that have kids, your kids are always going to be your babies.
Right.
And that's, yeah, like, it was a precious...
No matter how old they get.
It was a precious thing to see, yeah.
It was funny, too, because we were sitting at Gina, and Gina's Candina and Nori's mom. We were sitting at her table, and she's, we were talking, and she said, she goes, you never understand the feeling of, I would die for you. I would actually give my life for you until you have a child of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, I have that feeling about, you know, like my grandkids and stuff like that. And, you know, that feeling about Al Roker.
Oh,
I would die for him. No. And stuff. But it's just, it's, yeah, it was just, it's just, it hit you, you know, and stuff. And the way that she said it was so... It was, I don't know, just kind of magical. And
spot
and,
on, yeah.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah. So I just, I don't know. But Candina put the whole thing together. I have to give her props
for
that.
It was amazing.
She actually performed the ceremony.
Oh, wow.
And she did such a beautiful job. She's probably spent a fortune. She bought 150 lavender roses. She made all the centerpieces.
They were beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah, Nori's dress was knockout, too.
And the food was to die for.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. So, yeah. So thank you for letting us be part of your special day.
All right.
That's really beautiful.
What do you got, Shells?
Well, I had that awesome graduation at the Red Rocks, which I've never been to before. And I hope you guys don't mind me mentioning this at the beginning, because the later thing we talked about. Is this okay?
Oh,
so anyway, it was really cool on a million levels, because a lot of people don't like graduations and weddings because they're boring most times, honestly. But your wedding sounded amazing, and this graduation was the coolest one that I've ever been to, because it was at Red Rocks and it was a perfect day. It was the first like 80 degree day of the year and clear skies and all that, but mostly because my mom had been looking so forward to it, and she's on oxygen right now and going through some things. So we were able to make that happen. She'd kind of been conserving her strength and energy and doing all the things right to make that happen. So anyway, we all went and everything worked out great. We could park at the top and get the, you know, the seats at the top and all of that. So that was nice. I thought it was cool. I was telling you guys that the graduates all decorated their mortarboards, their little hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how new that is. You have 8 million grandkids, so you've probably seen it a lot more than I have. But I thought that was so fun and individual and creative. And like, some of them had the college that they were going to on the back of them, or flowers around it, or bejeweled or bedazzled. And that was neat. So you could always kind of follow your graduate around Red Rocks and stuff. But Columbine, you know, it captured the nation's interest, but it's such a Colorado thing, and even though, of course, it wasn't the first school shooting, it was the first to be so well-known in the information age, and everybody following the, I guess, actually digging deep into the psychology of it and how we prevent it, and it really changed everybody's lives going forward as far as school security and how we notify people and all of those things, how we react with first responders and stuff. So anyway, as a national, everybody's eyes were on them, the spotlight's on them. With that being said, how this school has progressed, it was so impressive to me. So it was the 25th anniversary, I believe, of Columbine on April 20th.
Of the Columbine shooting.
Of the Columbine massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year on April 20th, they do acts of service. And they can be small, medium, or large, done as a group, whatever. I think that as the senior class, maybe they organized something really big. But I know they raised thousands and thousands of dollars for Make-A-Wish. And it's something that unites the kids. And it's really cool that they, the main thing to me is that they didn't let the shooters win, or that mm-hmm. spirit or attitude win. And so anyway, as it was a 3-hour service, and they were talking about all these students, and they were like 20% had joined the military, and they had all of those kids stand up and be recognized. There were at least 20 kids that had a 4.3 or over, something crazy, and they all stood up and were recognized. The valedictorian and salutatorian that had like 8.0s, they were like gymnasts. It's crazy.
That just never made any sense to me. Mathematically and stuff, I just feel like if they're perfect students, then they shouldn't like make it so that the math doesn't work. Because how do you have better than better?
There's AP classes and extra credit things and things that they can do in junior high that go ahead and college courses.
That's why I was not one.
Okay. Well, I think they started doing that after we graduated. No, they're not that good if they don't know what perfect score is.
Right.
So there was that, and they were all just so smart. But they had they were united by the state winning high school football team, which is exciting, you know, because they were against Cherry Creek, which is really, really good team mm-hmm. historically, always. But they also had a state winning choir and a band. So the band is playing, the choir is singing. They all sounded like they could be on movie soundtracks. It was just, they would settle for nothing but sheer excellence, but they were also patriotic and kind and giving and all of these things. So the thing I'll wrap it up with that I thought was so cute, and obviously I'm proud of Lucy, my niece, who looked so beautiful and happy there. All of those kids, including Lucy, had such a rough go of it because they were freshmen in 2020.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know, so either they like took a weird high school gap year, or they were doing it from home or switching schools and didn't have that socialization, and that they all graduated together so united was really lovely. But the last thing I'll say about it was, so with the massacre in whatever 25 years ago was, of that now, 15 people stood up in the faculty that were there on the day of the shooting. Some of them were students at the time. Some of them were teachers at the time. And that just blew my mind that they were so brave. And they're like, screw that. This is my school. And mm-hmm. I love it here. And I love these people. So anyway, that was my big thing from the week. And I need to cut down on the seltzer. I'm between the wedding and the graduation and Daryl getting pulled over. I'm real emotional, guys.
Oh, goodness.
I'm real emotional, guys. Do you guys want to come back with some discovery stuff?
I think we should.
How about the meat?
I was just going to say something real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, with you saying that, like the choir, how good they were. Isn't that? I learned something at this one graduation that we went to this weekend. Uh-huh. I didn't know you could letter it in choir.
Yeah.
If I'd have known that, if I could have lettered in choir, I'd have stayed in school longer. Damn, I would have stayed in choir and got a letter. But all right, guys, we'll be right back.
The sky was the limit. Into the
Hi guys, welcome back to the meat of our program. Today we are talking about discoveries and things that we've discovered or things that we feel like we've discovered. So we're first going to start with that. Kate, you guys, is there something that you feel like you were the one who discovered, whether it be like a new author or band or book or
restaurant,
movie, anything.
Actor? Yeah. Totally. And I know that I'm wrong, but when I was 19, I worked at a music store, and I mentioned this on the show before. I feel like I actually discovered Pearl Jam, like I told everybody about him, because we got the sample of the CD-10, and we were playing it, because we'd only have maybe 10 or 20 samples at a time, and then we would rotate. There was only 4 people that worked there.
Was it the full album?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we would rotate, you know, who got to pick stuff next. And that was we were kind of the breakfast club of music store crew.
Right,
you know,
sure.
We had the nerd and the, drama artiste, and then the kind of gothy girl, and then than me. I was just like kind of the cheerleader, except for not athletic in any way, and more mainstream, I guess. And that was
Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. But that was the thing that we were all united within. And we all love the Pearl Jam sample, and we play it all the time. And it was so refreshing to me because that was in a really lip-syncy, shallow, visually very techno-y, dancey type music time. And I do like some dance music. I do like a lot of pop music, but I was thirsty for guitars. It's just like I needed electric guitar. I need some rock. I don't know where it went. You know, there was just stupid music at the time. It's kind of CNC Music Factory stuff going on, Milli Vanilli bullshit. And I'm like, give me a fucking rock band again. And so anyway, I feel like I was a week before everybody else. And I'm like, this Even Flow shit, that's going to be the first single. And I believe it was Alive. I'm not sure.
It was Alive. You're right. Yeah.
But I thought Even Flow was the best song at the time. And anyway, so I thought that I invented Pearl Jam.
Hold on 1 second.
Please.
Eddie Vedder's on the line and he says thank you.
I told six or seven people, Ed.
Hey, Shirley, I am so rich.
So anyway, I don't know why I made him Southern at the end. But so I broke Pearl Jam. You're welcome. Because I told six or seven people about it. And, you know, the four people at Disc Jockey in Westminster Mall, Colorado, loved it. So that was good. And then on a much, much smaller note, this is where I was late to the party and I thought I was first to the party. I really liked Sublime. And I thought they were great. And I think it was, I was listening to Love Is What I Got or whatever. And I'm like, man, and listening to the actual radio. And I was up at, remember when Dara lived with her mom and Denise, or maybe we were going, it was Kraft Night. That's all I know. I'm driving to Kraft Night in the 90s, Sublime's on. I'm like, these guys are really going places. They've got a nice sound. And they're like, so-and-so died this morning at whatever. And like, they're probably not going anywhere.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's funny. We just were talking about that.
Yeah, the other day that his son is
Son's in the band now.
Hell yeah. See, I told you.
Yeah, he's playing guitar and he's doing some singing.
I told you.
So how cool is that? I mean, this is, what, 20-some years later. And you know,
oh, my gosh.
But yeah, his son's in the, and Ro is still one of the singers of the band, too. So
wonderful. I've got a bunch more, but if you guys want to do music ones, and then we can keep going.
Well, I'm going to kind of follow your footsteps there. Back in the day, me and my buddy John, he luckily had a radio that picked up Kilo. You couldn't get Kilo up here that good. Remember?
Where was Kilo at?
Kilo was from the Springs.
Oh, Colorado Springs. That's about an hour south of Denver, guys.
Yeah. So
for those of you in Ghana, we do have listeners in Ghana.
Yeah, we do. And they're like, really, Colorado Springs. But anyway, so yeah, so we're listening and to this band that came on, and we're like, God, that band's cool. They're really cool. We'd never heard them up here because BPI or nobody else, KZY back in the day, they didn't have them. The band was Dangerous Toys.
Oh shit!
So we heard off of Kilo that they were going to be up here in Denver at a bar off of 88th and Washington. I can't remember what it was called.
I don't know, but Corinna was there.
I don't think Corinna was there.
No, Corinna might have not been old enough.
No. Oh. And, because we were just barely 21, 20. Yeah. So I think it was the Party Place for some odd reason. So we were up there, and we went seeing them, and they showed up with Junkyard Dog. Well, they were just walking around, you know,
because
they're like, they don't know anybody. There was maybe 30 people in the bar. You know?
Oh my God, I love these stories.
So I walk over, and the lead singer's Jason McMasters. So I'm talking to him, you know, stuff. He's like, cool, you know, hey, you know, I'm glad you guys showed up and this and that and stuff. Here's a couple guitar picks, this and that, and, you know, want to grab a beer. So we're having a beer with him, stuff. Boom, they go on stage, they killed it and everything. So, you know, we're like, hey, it was great to meet you, whatever, boom. Because after they played, they came back and hung out and stuff. So about 3 months later, they're playing down at Bangles. So me and John go down to Bangles, walk up to him, and we're like, hey, dude. And he goes, hey, what's up, guys? And he goes, what are you up to? And like, nothing. He goes, you guys want to go grab a drink? We're like, okay. So we started walking towards the bar. He goes, no, come out to the bus. So we went out to the tour bus. We're like groupie guys, but we go out to the tour bus and everything.
He probably thought you were girls with your hair.
Yeah. So we're on the tour bus hanging out. And he goes, have you guys heard of this? And we're like, what is it? He goes, it's this new drink. He goes, it's pretty good. Zima.
You discovered Dangerous Toys and Zima.
It was funny because that he goes, we just picked it up. He goes, just came out in down in Dallas. He goes, so we loaded the tour bus up, and then we thought it was pretty good. So
Zima was so much better than seltzers.
That's good.
The funny thing was the bartender, because we told the bartender, he goes, what in the hell were you drinking? We go, oh, it's Zima. And about 4 months later, you know, it finally hit Denver.
Oh my gosh.
So we're like, how cool is that? We got to hang out with them again. They remembered us. And we're drinking something that nobody in Colorado has even drank yet.
Stop. You know? It's a triple D. Yeah. A Daryl Double Discovery.
So it was pretty cool. But I mean, then we seen them again. They were at After the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
And it was funny because they had gone out for quite some time. So we walk up, we're like, hey, dudes, what's up? They're like, who are you?
That was 8,000 Zimas ago.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But no, I thought that was kind of a cool one, you know?
That's a great story. What a timestamp.
Yeah.
So as far as music is concerned, I saw Hootie and the Blowfish play at the Bluebird in Boulder.
No way.
Before they were big, and Darius Rucker was outside.
When he was still Hootie?
He was still Hootie, and he was standing outside his tour bus, and we walked right by him. And I was like, I think that's Hootie. Was he smoking?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Okay. I just remember, but
did he smoke?
I don't know. But not to sound
snooty about Hootie?
Not snooty.
That's what we're doing.
Well, no, it's Boulder is a very, very hippie white community.
Yeah.
And he was one of the only black people there.
That's just special.
So,
yeah.
Yes. And so it was like I didn't want to be like, hey, you must be Hootie because you're one of the only black people in Boulder. But like I kind of knew it was him or whatever. But we didn't say anything.
The cool thing about that now, it hasn't changed for him because he's that same way in Nashville with all the country music.
Yeah, sure. Artists. Exactly. Yeah.
He's like, I'm in my element.
Yeah, there
did
you go.
Did he offer you a Zima?
He did not.
Oh, man. That's amazing. You were the first to break Hootie in our circle for sure. Uh-huh. And when Hold My Hand came out, I just thought that was so amazing. And such a good love song for you. But during that time, there was an Indigo Girls song. I told you about this, too. Then I'm like, you know, Lisa's day will come. She'll find true love. Here it is 40 years later, and you're married to the same person. I've been married 16 times. And I remember when Hold My Hand came out, I'm like, Lisa will find her person.
Yeah, there.
Yeah. All condescending.
Well, it was about a year. I think it was about a year later when I met Daryl. But
good one.
No wonder she kept going, you just hold my hand. My God, sweaty, come here.
Hey, she's got tripods.
She was nervous.
Really. I do kind of have. That's,
she does.
I swear that I had a guy that I dated for about 2.5 seconds who broke up with me because my hands were too sweaty.
Did he say that? Or
no,
did you imagine it?
I imagined
she
it.
She imagined it. Poor thing. But no, your hands have always been fine, honey.
Okay. Well, no.
The right texture of wetness.
Just make me feel better that it was that and nothing else. Because I was like, I felt like I was so much better than him.
Yeah. You're probably just a bad kisser.
Yeah. But I was like, there's no, because he broke
definitely
up with
not
me.
A bad kisser.
And I was like, No.
Have you seen me?
I am the better looking in this relationship.
Oh, you told me about
the sweaty
dude.
Yeah. You failed up, motherfucker.
Right?
And thank you for that, pal.
Yeah.
You know what I discovered? And when I was really, like, I used to have fire hydrant armpits.
Oh, really?
And really wet paws and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's clinical deodorant.
Oh,
hey,
Lumi.
There's a product discovery that I forgot to
do. We should have Lumi sponsor us.
Okay, that's a whole new episode. Let's do product discoveries next.
Yes.
Perfect. I didn't think about it, but another time.
On your music ones, you both introduced me to, what is Jordis's last name?
Jordis Unga.
Oh my God, what a talent. And then you, Manwich, with what's his name? The Exes. Both of you, with the Exes.
Scotty, yeah, from the Exes.
But, yeah, that video of their... oh, what is it? The Talking
Same
Heads.
As it ever was.
Oh my God! I played that for Brian, and we were just agape, jaws agape.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, nothing else was agape but our jaws.
Yeah,
that
good.
Was the only agape-ness.
Well, cool.
It's so such a crazy good weird left turn of a remake.
Mm-hmm.
It's still so much better than the first.
I think so too.
It's
so,
it same really as it ever was.
Fit.
Not same as.
Why is such a big suit?
All right, is that all the music
just
discoveries?
Just really fast, I felt like I discovered Shakespeare's sister.
Dude, kinda.
You did what?
I discovered Shakespeare's sister.
Stay.
I'm actually, my sister did, but like,
well, she's not here, so she can't defend herself.
Yeah, she can't defend herself.
Yeah. Take it from her, lady.
Yeah, she's like the one who listened to him, and I kind of, well, or it might have been the other way around. Anyways, between the two of us, We may have been the only two people who ever listened to them, but I loved them.
They were so, so good and so scary. And I mean,
they were Bananarama, you know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes. And but she's just so freaky looking, and their voices were so angelic.
Yeah.
But they came out during the Disc Jockey Times, too. I'm going to take that from your sister that I knew something at the exact same time as her. But I did have the Kasingle.
Oh.
I got an employee discount off my $3 an hour or whatever. Oh. I got the Kasingle.
Nice.
I think for 99 cents.
Well, did I ever give you back your Brooks and Dunn thing?
I gave it to you guys.
Oh wait, I wanted to give it back.
Why? What am I going to do with it?
No, I'm just kidding.
I found Brooks and Dunn. I found them after they had a platinum record.
How exciting!
Exactly.
Okay. What about anything? What other stuff do you guys have?
Books. I think that this is interesting. So I think that Oprah really caused a sensation with her book club. Mm-hmm. And it was such a unifying water cooler deal with the nation. But with our group in particular, you know, all of our girlfriends, we were doing crafts and stuff once a month. But this book club thing was something that we could call each other and talk about, you know, during the craft diner whenever we got together. And I discovered so many new authors. I don't think she ever picked a book that was an established author. They were all like new up and coming. At the time, I think it was Toni Morrison's first, et cetera, et cetera. But we all really united over Wally Lamb's She's Come Undone. And I think that was his first.
It was.
And if it wasn't, it was still so incredible. And what was so neat about it, and even though we didn't discover it, we were all discovering it together. You know, it was an unglamorous young female character with a lot of flaws that was written by a man so truthfully and realistically and sincerely. It still blows my mind. That had to be 40 years ago.
Well, I don't think it was 40.
30
yeah,
at least.
30. Yeah.
So anyway, I would say that was a great book discovery as a group.
Yeah.
And as far as other books like that, I don't remember ever having anything that blew my mind that is just like, have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Have you heard about this? Have you heard about this?
I don't think that I discovered this either, but the one that I remember being like, oh my God, have you heard about this, was the Running with Scissors.
Oh gosh.
And stuff. That was such a that was
Augustine Burroughs?
Yes. And also the guy who wrote Angela Ashe's Frank McCourt.
Yep.
That was really, really, really good.
You know what you discovered for me? There's so many things, but book wise was we're gonna teach Daryl how to drive
how to
and
read.
How to read.
Yeah.
But Gillian Flynn.
Yeah. And that was Michelle Mina. I have to give her credit for that.
She discovered it to you.
She told me to read Gillian Flynn.
Well, I think that was kind of the start of my being like you in terms of being obsessive. When I like something, I'm all in.
Yes.
And so it's just like one book after the other. And I was so upset when she didn't write one for another year or two. I'm like, I just can't wait. But anyway, she was the one that wrote Gone Girl, right?
Yes.
So luckily they started making movies out of her works.
They've made movies out of all three of her books. I think she's only written three.
Sharp Objects.
And the one that was my favorite
one.
About the serial killer.
Yeah, the satanic cult, and the girl that goes to crime con because her family was killed.
Uh-huh.
Whatever the hell that was.
That was a great one.
They're
was my
all
favorite
so
of all three
good.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Gillian Flynn, great discovery that you passed on to me. What was the other one that you just said?
Augustine
Burroughs.
Yeah.
And his were so cool because
they were true.
They're true, and he's so funny, and he's so smart and everything. But the way he writes things, there are lines in those that I read 20, 30 years ago that I still remember.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book called Dry about when he quit drinking. Mm-hmm. And he was an ad man on Madison Avenue. Mm-hmm. And he was responsible for the Double Mint jingle, I think.
Uh-huh.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Some gum thing. But at the time, you know, they're all so Mad Men, you know, the drinky, smoky, out all night, whatever. And he was talking about going out drinking with people after work. And he's wearing, you know, this $1,000 suit in the 90s or whatever it was. And they went out for martinis. He said they were like fish bowls. They were in these beautiful $100, you know, crystal glasses and just gallons of vodka, you know, and olives as big as your head or whatever. And they're just drinking straight liquor all night long. You know, he finally rolls out of a cab at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, gets up at 7, goes to work in the same suit, smelling like dog shit. And this lady finally pulls him aside and she's like, we need to talk. You're really good at your job, but you might have a problem. Who remembers shit like that? The way that he wrote it, I felt like I was there. I could smell him. I could see him. And just that the sorrow of a life being wasted, of somebody so bright and and all of that other stuff. Anyway, great author.
Yeah.
To make you have those feelings and remember all of them. Fantastic. Good discovery. Good good call.
Yeah.
What was your favorite book? What
you did know you discover that you told author? Us? Who was a great author?
Jesus.
S.E. Hinton.
Oh, The Outsiders.
She did The Outsiders.
Which was the last book to
one of my, no, I, no, my
That's not true.
One of the last books I read was The Dirt.
And you discovered it for me. You told me about it, and I think I read your copy.
Yeah, you did.
Mount McGrew. It was
but
great.
What I was going to say that I've discovered lately is, it's no secret, but getting old sucks.
Oh, that is a discovery.
I seriously have found out this past year, I actually feel my age. I'd never really felt my
Which
age
is 97.
For the longest time. Yeah, and
you look good for 97.
Thank you. I take after which is
Tony Randall.
But no, that I told Lisa the other day. I go, I can't believe it. I'm starting to feel 50.
Yeah, good because you're 57.
Well, that's good that I'm starting to feel 50 at least. Yeah. So, but I love listening to you guys talk about your books and stuff like that because Lisa, well, the same thing. She'll be, you know, she used to read a lot. She doesn't read as much because she does.
She's exhausted.
She does the listening to different podcasts and stuff now. So I mean, it kind of has replaced a book. But yeah, if you can pick up a book and read,
yeah, and then tell us if you like it.
Yeah,
that's how you discover stuff.
What's your favorite book?
I liked She's Come Undone. Okay. We've talked about that.
But what else you got?
So, the other thing that I feel like I discovered was, so I don't even know if it ever even came to fruition, but I thought of, before anybody else, you know how there's a tea bag?
Yeah.
There should be a coffee bag.
Why isn't there?
Right, but I think they just skipped it, went straight to the Keurig.
Yeah.
So, I invented the Keurig.
You kind of did.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Because I told everybody about how, you know, like if you have like just a one cupper of tea, why can't you just have a one cup of coffee?
That's brilliant.
You should have a tea, a coffee bag.
Ooh. Yes.
And you should just dip it and then it never came to fruition and it just went to Keurigs.
I know one that I can say in Bunny's defense, and Bunny is Lisa's little sister. She was the first person I ever seen that would order coffee and ask for just a glass of ice and pour her coffee into the glass
of ice. She made
iced
coffee.
And remember the waitress was like, what is this? No, she was older than that, but still.
15.
Yeah, nobody did iced coffee. I didn't know her
when she was 12.
True.
But yeah,
it was 15.
Seriously, because I looked at it kind of funny, and she goes, oh, I like it this way. And then
She would put half of cream, and then and then she'd put her cup of coffee. She'd get the biggest glass she could get. And
she's
made iced coffee.
But I just remember that look on that waitress's face. I think we had a Denny's or something.
Uh-huh.
And
she was crazy.
Like, what is that? And then she's over there and I'm like,
now you pay extra for it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
exactly. Yeah.
That's kooky. I discovered and didn't have the money or the patents or the time or the knowledge, but when we were doing craft night, I was like, why don't they have this for men? Why don't they have like a workshop where guys can go and just like use the tools and sign a waiver and, you know, make a birdhouse or whatever. Okay. And they have those all over the place now.
No.
Yeah. But I invented it way before that happened.
Well, there you go.
I discovered it.
I feel like I invented true crime.
How so? Were you killing people and then telling people about it without lying?
Yes.
We had a bush one time.
No. I was into serial killers when I was in junior high school.
Oh, she has this collection of cards.
I have serial killer trading cards.
Okay.
And my mom got them for me when I was in ninth grade.
You win.
I have both sets. I have the first set that went all the way up to Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't even in it because he wasn't a serial killer yet.
Yes.
He's in the second set.
It was probably Ted Bundy.
It was all the people like the John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, the 60s and 70s.
And the, see how
stuff.
Cool you are? And,
and
when's
people
the third
used
set
to think
out?
I was really.
Morbid.
People used to think I was morbid. Like, I remember telling people that I was really, really into serial killers and the macabre and stuff like that. And they thought that, like, they would seriously look at me really weird. And now it's like there's
so popular.
Four different channels, 10 different channels that are just true crime.
Absolutely.
So yeah,
I think it was you that lent me your copy of, was it Diane Downs' book?
Small Sacrifices.
Small Sacrifices, yep.
Well, and I also... do you remember the rabbit, the girl who had 107 different personalities?
Oh no.
Oh yeah, it was
not Sybil.
Nope, it was something rabbits.
Oh,
Oh, I can't think of it.
Because you got me into Sybil, too.
Yeah. It was all that crazy, kooky stuff.
Yeah, psychological things. So, well, thank you for that. Uh-huh. Now I have nightmares.
Right.
What about, like, actors and actresses? Did you ever see one that you're just like, oh, wow, they're really going places? Because here's my example. Uh-huh. And I didn't know until later that she came from an acting family. But Julie Roberts in Mystic Pizza. Oh. And Lily, whatever her face is, from Mystic Pizza, that was in all the John Cusack movies.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
Taylor.
Yes, yeah, I love her so amazing. Much. But I'm like, wow, this cast is so talented. They're such young cutie pies, kind of like the Rat Pack a little bit, but better actors. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just saw that coming in. You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah, okay. I invented sliced white bread.
False. And also, I saw Baby Reindeer before you.
Yeah, true.
I did discover that. But, let's talk about food.
Okay,
so I didn't discover or invent anything like a Reese's peanut butter cup, except for when I was younger, I would take vanilla ice cream and put chunky peanut butter on it. Mm. I created sweet and salty. That was me. You're welcome, guys.
Uh-huh.
I was good. That was me. And then also, food-wise, you know how I hate hot dogs and eggs?
Uh-huh.
I had a fried deviled egg with bacon on it. I didn't invent it, but I discovered that I don't mind deviled eggs.
Oh, if they're fried. Okay.
Yeah, I discovered that.
Okay.
And restaurants, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
So there's a place in Brian's neighborhood called Fish and Beer. And it is right...
Like, what stuff do they have there?
That's part of the joke. So, catty corner from it is the bar where we had our first smooch,
mm-hmm.
where there was the Epiphany bathroom. And I'm like, what are we waiting for? We've been friends for a long time. It's time that we put each other's faces together in a way and then kiss. And so, anyway, there's this place called Fish and Beer, catty corner from it. And what they do is they smoke and grill everything. And it's all really fresh seafood that they get in the day before or the morning of. And so it always smells like smoked oysters and like that really great place in Louisiana. And so anyway, Brian had been there several times. He's like, I want to take you on a date. Let's go there. And then I freaked out and fucked it up. And then we finally did go on a date. And then we went. So I'm thinking Fish and Beer, how delicious. So mm-hmm. I like both of those things. Well, it was very, very elevated, fresh, creative, awesome seafood in a tiny little place that holds maybe 40. And you can watch them make all of the stuff, which I love. Huh. And you can sit at the bar and watch them shuck oysters. And if there's raw oysters and cooked oysters and grilled oysters. Very.
Okay.
And, but anyway, I think because it's called Fish and Beer, people don't think of it as a celebratory or hoity-toity place.
I didn't think so.
And that's where we go to celebrate things, you know, either anniversaries or, you know, the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup or I quit my job or whatever.
You've never celebrated anything for me there.
No, I haven't. Because, again, not cheap.
Oh. But
and you're a cheap date.
Anyway, it's quite delicious. But I wanted to give Brian props for discovering that. So every year when we vote for ourselves for the best podcast in Westward, it always has a place for best oysters. And people are like, Jack's or this or that, all these fancy places. And I'm like, Fish and Beer, I'm telling you, they're the best oysters in the state. They're so good. They're so fresh. They're so well prepared. And anyway, I kept writing it in so much that last year that was one of the multiple
pickers,
choice.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's all because of me. You're welcome.
Good for you.
Good for me. Nice. I discovered Fish and Beer.
They
were doing just fine without me.
Oh,
just
well, so that's good.
Carry on.
We're going to talk about things we did that we discovered in 2024 and plans to do stuff. Should we take a little break first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll come right back.
Bye.
I know I can't help myself. You're all in the world.
Welcome back, witches. It's a longer show today, but we gave you a little break to go to the bathroom if you wanted. And Daryl always picks great songs. But we're talking about discoveries today, and we're talking about things that we thought that we discovered or we're glad that our friends discovered. And then now we wanted to do things that maybe we discovered just this year or things that we want to discover in the upcoming year and maybe even dare each other to do to discover.
Right.
But anyway, I know that you guys both have a longer list than I do on this one. Who wants to hit it?
I really don't. I don't have new things that I did in 2024 because I feel like a lot of the stuff that I did was things that I have done in the past, revamped, like Cosmonita.
Oh, sure.
And stuff like that we've talked about. But I do have, I mean, do you guys have any of that? Because I have a lot of stuff for plans of things I'd like to do.
I didn't do anything. I think I'm with you. I think we stayed on the straight and narrow of everything that so far we've done in 2024 that we did before.
Yeah.
And stuff, but except for me getting pulled over. And then I thought, oh, shit, there's coming some butt stuff.
Oh, no.
But one of my things, I think we kind of we're going to try and put out there that we want you guys, you know, we want each other to try something different.
Yeah.
Go look at something. I found this. I don't know that you've done it. I know that we haven't done it, but I thought it'd be fun for the three of us or all of us to go. How about the Denver Selfie Museum?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I've wanted to do that too. And it's not that expensive.
Is it the same as the Monster Halloween place, but different theme?
It's somewhere different, but the same kind of
same
thing.
Same kind
of
idea.
You go in and you can just take.
And there's rooms that look like they're upside down and all kinds of weird stuff.
All kinds of different things.
Yeah. I thought that'd be a fun little field trip.
Yeah, I've wanted to do that.
Okay, put it on the calendar. Lisa, last week we had talked, I think, between takes, maybe just on the video, about the Bubble Bar. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this place is called Bubble Planet, and it's an immersive experience. I think I took a screenshot of it. Hold on one second.
When I first heard you say the Bubble Bar, I'm like, God, is that when you get in trouble and you have to eat soap?
I don't think.
It's only champagne.
Oh, champagne.
Or it's like the room in Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Oh, you burp.
Lifting bubbles.
Yeah.
The surreal journey, Bubble Planet, an immersive experience, has finally arrived to Denver. We bet you couldn't be more excited to experience it. With one themed rooms filled with bubbles of all kinds, this magical interaction experience lets you unleash your inner child on a sensory-filled journey. Now it's open, and you can grab your tickets now. So it's
do they serve alcohol?
I don't think so.
Oh, darn it.
I have pictures so that we... Oh, hold on. There's more. We filled our pastel dreams with joy and wonder by stepping into the captivating bubble getaway room surrounded by hundreds of whimsical bubbles. Our team dives into a world of underwater bubbles frolicked in a sea of soapy suds. And everyone gets lost in the mesmerizing smoke bubbles.
Ooh.
In this one-of-a-kind world. At the Bubble Planet Experience, guests can explore rooms adorned with tons of massive balloons, offering unique photo ops and delightful moments for all. We have so much fun exploring this unique world that we didn't want to leave. Now is your chance to dive into this interactive land of bubbles as you've never imagined, while captivating Instagram-worthy moments amidst glorious backdrops. There's more to it. This one-of-a-kind adventure takes about 60 to 90 minutes to explore and is located at the Exhibition Hub Arts Center, Denver, 3900 Elati Street, E-L-A-T-I Street in Denver. Grab your tickets to Bubble Planet and get ready to float on cloud nine at this experience.
Do you do it in groups or can you go alone? Or is it just like
both,
is it like just a big room or something?
It looks like there's a bunch of people. Well, I mean,
bubbling
like in
with
every
each other.
One of them, there's like two people. But I'm assuming this room is like huge.
Oh,
so
that's
I'm sure
cool.
There's
awesome.
A lot of people. So, anyways, that looks really fun. It's a little pricey. I think it was like $30 for adults and $25 for kids or something. I don't know. But it was.
We can make it happen.
Yeah, I think that sounds.
That sounds
fun.
Cool.
I love it.
Something that I've been wanting to try for a while that I've been saying is the Upstairs Circus. Has any of you been to that?
I have.
Okay.
Rhiannon took me and Ashley for our birthdays last September. And for those of you listening, it's a bar downtown that also you make your own craft. So the bar is really cute, and it has, of course, kind of a circus theme. And at the time, the movie Barbie had just come out. So we got some, like, pink champagne-y cocktails. And then you go, and let's say there's kind of an IKEA shelf with cubicles and all these different crafts, and you tell the person behind that counter, I want an A5 or whatever. And then let's say mine was a... it's like a charcuterie board. And then you go over to the paints and you pick your own paints and you do whatever. So they give you the supplies. You go pick out your colors and then there's an instruction sheet and you drink fun and pretty cocktails while you do that. It was a blast and I would love to go with you if you go again.
And then they also help you if you get stuck or whatever.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. But they're pretty easy.
Ish, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say Ashley was done with hers in like 10 minutes. She had picked like a metal plate necklace that you could, you know, press in your initials or name or whatever. Yeah. And I would probably do that next time because I fucked up my shirt. Pretty good. It looks bad. But yeah. And Rhiannon made a jewelry holder. It was really, really fun.
Cool. And I also heard that you can pick like by like the kind of craft you want to do or by price wise or whatever and stuff
all
like
of those
that.
Things.
So yeah, it seemed really fun. So yeah. I wanted to do that.
It was a very good time and really cute. It was a very cute place.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to go, this is probably uncomfortable, but I haven't been since I was probably 6 or 7 years old. It would be very, very hot, but probably maybe a once in a lifetime thing. And it's so amazing. But have you guys ever seen the Blue Angels?
I have not. Yeah.
They're coming in August to the Pikes Peak, whatever, in Colorado Springs. And I know my brother and one of his sons is going. I think that would be really, really cool.
That would
love to have people see that. Because for any of you that don't know, so the Blue Angels are these Navy pilots that are so synchronized and precise. They're like the rockets of the sky, except for they don't have to have their nails done. But so, they're just so beautiful.
So interesting story. Remember when Van Halen had the song Dreams?
Yes.
The Blue Angels were in there?
Yes.
I was there the day that they shot the Blue Angels because my brother was in the Navy and I got to go on his base. I got to meet all of them. I got to sit in a plane.
Oh, what an honor.
And then the day that they were taken off, I mean, they show his Air Force. It was Moffett Air Force Base. Yeah. And they were taken off of something. They did all that. So that's the footage that they use is from that day.
It's so incredible because there's probably 10 or 20 people in the world that can fly like this.
Oh, so incredible.
Guys, it's not just, I did a flip over here, you did a flip over here.
No, these guys
sometimes
come at
they're
straight at each other.
To wingtip, yes.
Yeah, and they're like this, and they go like this, and you're like, what the hell?
Exactly, yeah, that was a visual. But
that's a good one, Shell. And where's it going to be at?
It's in Colorado Springs. It's at Pikes Peak.
That would be so cool.
I think so, too. It's going to be hotter than dog shit and no shade, but it's so beautiful. So I would like to do that. I also want to get our friend Shayla has inner GPS that I don't possess. And she has Tuesdays and Wednesdays off, and she goes on hikes all the time. And so when I can, I go with her, and I trust that she will get us where we need to go because I don't know what I'm doing. Well, anyway, there's a new app. It's for trails and hikes in Colorado, and it can say, like, when to go, when it's shady, when it's overcast, how many miles you went, what the degree of difficulty is, maybe you only go in this month or this week or whatever.
Oh, cool.
And I would really like to spend more time doing that because I really enjoy it. It's pretty cheap. And, you know, I'll go with her. And basically her criteria is critter danger. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, well, this place has bears. I'm like, we're never going there ever. And she's like, well, I can't take the dog on this one because of the mountain lions. I'm like, no, we're absolutely taking the dog because they'll eat the dog first. And then, you know, as far as going flat as opposed to way uphill and rocky, whatever, I'm like, can we just go to the zoo?
Yeah,
would that
no
be okay?
Kidding. Yeah.
But,
and then you can see all the critters you want.
Exactly. But it has all those extra layers of difficulty or easiness. And it kind of takes the guesswork out of it for you. So I want to do that.
I forgot to mention for you guys that I'd like us all to do, but one that is so accessible for us to do, and it's just right down the street pretty much, I want to go to the Rocky Mountain Arsenal National Wildlife Refuge.
Travis's boss used to go there all the time and just fish, and you can go, it's like going out into nature on your lunch hour.
Yeah, it's just
so
right,
close.
Like we can walk.
Oh, there's buffalo there too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so crazy. Yeah, you can drive
through it. Can
you kick them? I think they can
only
kick you.
If you're drunk.
That's a great idea. I've always wanted to do
that's
that.
One, and I mean, we've been out here for 4 years now, and I'm like, it's just seriously, it's right down the street, and we haven't done it yet. So
I know we're not all married, but can we go have a picnic there?
Yes,
that would be fun.
Come and knock on my door,
and we can have an easy little hike there.
Yeah,
put
it on your app.
Bring a dog.
I also I've been wanting to do this forever. I want to go to the Black Box Bakery.
Ooh.
You guys look that up on Instagram. They have a great Insta. And apparently one of my clients told me that if, I can't remember where it's at, and I'll have to look all that up. But if you go, you have to like stand in line at like 9 o'clock in the morning. And they're usually sold out by like 10:30.
But if you get there and you say the wrong thing, they'd say, no donut for you.
Yeah. They have like these, like, donut cakes that are square. Oh. Those sell out first, but then they have like stuffed croissants.
Oh. Mm.
And they have sweet and savory.
That's my wife. She loves her pastries.
Oh my God. That's I want to go so bad.
Where is it?
Uh-huh. And I will get that information. I totally
Black
forgot.
Black Box Bakery?
I'm thinking it's somewhere like
is it in Aurora?
No, I think it's by Lakeside Mall, like in that area, but I'm not for sure.
Oh, that's fun.
I don't know. I'll look that up. I'm sorry about that. But I want to do that. Other thing that I just found out about is a place called Art Hub in Lafayette.
Ooh.
It's a new theater place, and they're going to play Rent. I think that's that would
right.
be really cool.
That's let's do so it, funny. Let's do it, let's do it.
I was trying to say Black Box, and I got Black Box Lafayette.
Oh, and he just got a new hooker.
I was gonna say, and I just made a date.
I want to take you guys to a couple of places that I have eaten. I want to try those new places with you, but because you're such a Motley Crue guy, it seems like it's been in our news the last three episodes. But there's this little brewery right over by Brian that is called Black Shirt Brewing, and the beer is good, but their pizza is ridiculous. It's so good.
I love
it. And they all have just like our episodes, they all have rock and roll names. So the pizza that we like is the Motley Crue, which is pretty much a supreme, but we get it with cream cheese.
Oh,
it's so good.
With a little bit of hotel.
Yeah. Yes, it's so good. And then my favorite steakhouse is called Black Hat. It's up in Kittredge.
You like it? It's just stuff that's called black?
Mm-hmm. I do black hats and black shirts. It's a whole outfit.
Okay.
And then Black Box Donuts.
Okay, go to the black places and you're going to love it. But that is weird. That was a weird thing. But it's an excellent steak. But the whole thing is it's in a kind of old-timey Western, like a Hank Williams Jr. type steakhouse.
Okay.
And I know that you guys mostly only like New Country, but it's such a vibe and it's so freaking delicious. I want to see your faces there.
Okay.
And it kicks the trail dust ass.
Yeah. What do you want? Do you want to try a restaurant, Daryl?
Oh, I didn't put one down.
So this is what I've got for the end. So we have all talked about that we want to give each other like something that we have to do by the end of the summer because we want to revisit this and then talk about the things that we want to do.
Yeah.
So the thing that I want to do all of this and I'm going to try to make it happen. But what I really, really, really mostly want to do is try a new coffee shop that's called Scream and Sugar.
Ooh, cute.
And it has a horror theme vibe. And it's next to a horror boutique.
Oh,
and stuff.
Where's that she's full of all the info, but not location. Okay.
I read a whole thing about Bubble Planet. Give me a break. I will find all that out and I'll put that on there too. But I'm going to make sure that whether or not you guys come with me,
they're
going
to be our field trips. We have to go.
I'm going to make sure that I have it. But this is this is what I'm. Not offering, but I'm putting out to you guys what I want you to do before the end of the year. Not the end of the year, the end of the summer.
All together,
the three of us.
Okay.
And that would be the end of August. I want you two to volunteer with me at the rescue.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's easy beans.
Yeah. I would love that.
So something new to discover.
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
Okay,
it's a Sunday. We can take out of our Sundays.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Then I'll take you to Scream and Sugar afterwards.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah,
it's 4 miles.
Yeah, it probably is. I think Scream and Sugar for some reason it seems south, but I'll find that out too.
Oh, you guys are the funnest.
Well, like I said, I think that I've seen that Denver Selfie Museum. I think that would be a fun
one
for us to do too.
And none of us have done it. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is good homework.
Yeah.
And then, we'll have to get it done before the next time we do part two of the Discovery thing.
Yeah.
Part two may come in August.
Yes. Okay. For you guys, I want us to all three go together to the Crypt in Denver.
Oh, I've been wanting to do that, too.
And it's kind of a gothy, skeleton, horror, live music little bar. And it's right across the street from some excellent tacos, too. it sounds like we have a lot of fun things planned. We'll give everybody a full report.
Scream and Sugar Coffee Company is 1974 South Acoma Street.
Okay.
So 19th or 20th in Acoma.
Okay. So, I'll get with my minder and we'll get everything on the schedule.
Perfect.
Nice.
Okay, cool. Well, then we're going to be back then with what you're talking about.
Let's do it.
All right. Witcher, talking about? Witches made it on the spot.
Oh!
That was like, we didn't even try. Like
We don't ever try.
True. Well, that's true.
That's our new motto. Good witch, bad witch. We don't ever try.
We're going to get t-shirts.
We got ones that say, we don't ever try, but we'll get you there. There you go.
Oh, right. That'd be great.
We'll get you there.
Perfect. Okay. So I'm going to start out with what you're talking about. What I'm talking about this week is, so this was another kind of fun thing we did a week ago Saturday. We went to another graduation party because it is the
graduation season.
Yeah, it is. So Paul Romero, who is our tech witch, and he does our editing. Well, he helps Daryl with the editing, puts in our music, and does all the techie stuff with
the tech.
YouTube and all the things.
Yeah.
And our Patreon and stuff like that. His cousin, Babette, was a really good friend. Well, Daryl and Paul were best friends when they were little, and then Daryl was really good friends with Babette, and it was his first ever smooch, yes?
I'm sure it probably was. We always played husband and wife.
Yeah. She'd always be like, you're my husband.
The funny thing is she was seriously a lot younger than me, like 4 years younger than me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... Can I call officer, whatever?
Yeah, how young are we talking?
Yeah, Jonathan so Perry, when they we were just you. Little kids, they used to play husband and wife and all that stuff. Well, Babette tragically passed away in 2020, but we were fortunate enough to meet her son, who is the star of the Netflix show One Piece. He plays Usopp, and his name is Jacob Gibson Romero, and he's Paul's cousin. And he was at the barbecue. We met him for the first time at Babette's services, but you know, of course, it's not a great time to sit and hang and stuff
like
that.
Try and make friends, yeah.
So we were able to. His little sister graduated, and we were able to spend a little time with him. And I just some of his accolades besides this
One Piece,
which is his probably biggest role, where he's amazing in it.
And his mother said. He is that same character all the way around in life. And seriously, he was going around the whole party just jumping around. So, yeah. Sorry,
he's,
honey.
He's just a really neat man. Kid. And well, when I say kid, he's 27. But he was also in a movie called Snake Eyes. And he was in the TV shows The Resident, All Rise, Grey's Anatomy, Green Leaf, and Rap Shit. And if you guys have seen, I know that one of my clients said that she watched the whole season of Greenleaf, and it's really, really good. He's up and coming actor. I'll put up pictures of us. We felt like we were like I called him. I said I was a fan. I was fangirling all over him.
Well, it was funny because me and Lisa were sitting on the patio that we were at, and he was down below, and he was just kind of kicking around a beach ball. By himself. And I go, come on, we're going to go talk to Jacob. She goes, no, we shouldn't. I go, no, come on. I go, he's no different than us. I go, he's a person. Let's go down. So I walk up. I go, Jacob, what are you doing? He's like, not much. I go, here's what we're going to do. I go, we're going to catch a selfie with you. He goes, okay.
Yeah.
Aww. So he gets in between me and Lisa, and we take a selfie. And then Lisa goes, well, I want a selfie by myself with you. So she takes a picture.
A self-selfie.
So we start talking. Well, of course, we're going to mention that we do a podcast, right? And he goes, yeah, he goes, my grandma said that you guys do a podcast. And he goes, I don't think I've ever been on one. And I go, well, you know, let us know. And he goes, well, I'll let you know when I get back in 7 months. I'm heading back down to South Africa to finish, you know, to start reshooting One Piece.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, but just the neatest kid, down to earth. That's why I told Lisa, I go, that's how you approach people like that. Because, I mean, he really appreciated the fact that we weren't, you know, standoffish.
Right. He's probably bored and lonely or something.
I just saw in my Apple News, you know, you get news on your phone. Right. And it's like Apple News or whatever. And it was about One Piece. And they said they're casting for villains for the bad pirates. I'm like, I think witches. I'm on all three
of us could be on there.
Let me know. I'm good.
Yeah.
So
I'll bring my turtle. She's only got one eye now.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways,
really, really fun. Great kid. And we're hoping that someday he'll be on the show.
Yeah.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, the Romeros know a bunch of famous people now, right?
Well,
daughter's a casting agent. And
right. Do they know them? They're related.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I think the Tech Witch, Paul, is going to get famous for all of his beautiful food posts on Instagram.
Yeah.
El Jefe owes him a lot of money.
No shit, right?
He posts about their beautiful food every day.
Yeah, I think that Paul... eats too much.
I think that we should make El Jefe a sponsor.
We should. Let's go talk to him. Yeah.
Good Mexican food.
It's good that he's kept his girlish figure, though.
Yeah, no, yeah. The guy looks great.
Yeah.
Semi-retired bastard.
Yeah.
Can I do my witcha?
Please. You got it,
okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to sneak it right in the middle because it's about the Midwest.
Oh, man.
It's amazing how many Americans think they live in the Midwest when they don't. States including Wyoming, Montana, and Arkansas have a surprising number of citizens who say they're Midwesterners. Some locals are bastards.
You're a bastard of the Midwest.
They're baffled. Mm. Who are you people? So a recent poll found that the Midwest is more of a state of mind than just a place that you can point to on a map. So I know after interviewing hundreds of kids for restaurant positions and stuff, we really always liked Midwesterners because they were kind and helpful and hardworking and humble.
Salt of the earth,
literally all that stuff. But I never really knew until I read this article which 12 states are actually considered the Midwest. Do you guys know?
No, bring it. Are we?
No. We're like the West.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So there's
Wild West?
Nebraska, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, not Montana, the other one, Mapleton.
Minnesota?
Iowa, yes. Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, and then a couple other ones.
Nebraska!
Nebraska, Kansas, and stuff.
Okay.
But if you guys meet a Midwesterner who isn't a great cook, who is skinny, or who isn't hardworking, who doesn't have a sunburn on the back of their neck, mm-hmm. I don't want to know them.
Okay. They're a bastard.
I don't want to know them.
They are. They're just a bastard.
But in case you were wondering, that's what the Midwest is.
Wow. That's
a state of mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man.
Wow. Cool. All right, guys. Are you ready for something that's
going
to take you way back to the day?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So my guy's Salvatore Ferragamo. And what he's famous for, he's an Italian designer who lived from 1898 to 1960.
Okay.
That's a long time to be living. Is credited,
not really.
Well, is credited for introducing the platform shoe. In the late 30s, his first pair of platform shoes were made of cork and wood, featuring one-piece thick heels.
I did not see this coming.
Yeah.
And he looked, you guys, I'm sorry, this isn't a visual medium unless you're on Patreon, but he looks very proud of himself.
And he should be.
I looked it up. Oh.
Yeah?
Let's see a picture of those shoes.
Oh. I do have pictures of the shoes.
Okay, well, we can post those.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Look.
Oh, wow. Those are some crazy shoes.
They got the old school. There's a rainbow pair right here
for
you, Shell.
They're super quirky.
I love them. Those are quirky and quirky.
Wow. Yes, they are.
I'm going to be like, Kelly Osbourne, sorry.
Hey, we don't normally go into this.
You know,
but Bad Witch, what was your thought process on your what you're talking about today? Were you just thinking to yourself, I want a quirky fashion shoe. Let's look some up.
That, you mean Daryl?
Yeah.
Oh, you said Bad Witch.
Bad Witch.
Yeah, he's bad too.
I'm like, that wasn't mine. But
can I tell you the truth?
Please.
Have you heard that there's a helium crisis?
No.
Helium is hard to come by.
Okay.
Right now. So in my head, I was like, who the hell discovered helium?
Uh-huh.
So I looked it up and I did.
And he spelled helium wrong.
Can I tell you something, guys?
S-A-L.
There was too much reading to talk about helium that this guy came up so much shorter. And look, just see how quick I got that over with
there
with the
high go. Helium.
Yes. Could you imagine if they were like together that you could float? But yeah, I'm like, oh God, that's a lot of reading for helium. I'm just...
Thank you for listening to Good Witch, Bad Witch. We don't try.
But we'll get you there.
But we'll get you there.
We don't try.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, let's be back with WoW, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, of wisdom.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh yeah, he's the man witch. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. 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 Yeah, baby, that's a wow for you. Hey, guys. Yeah. It's time for the wow.
What is the actual...
Right before every civilization falls, there's someone that has too much
power. Wow, 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 wow.
He's wowing Elvis, I think.
I'm wowing Elvis. Yeah, baby. You know what I'm wowing.
He wowed himself.
Good God. Okay, go ahead. Who's going to go first?
Let's have Shell go first.
Okay. Sure. Hey, my well of wisdom in this 3-hour episode is true crime rule number 23, and that is forensic versus circumstantial evidence. I've learned a lot about that this week from famous cases, and also something that's kind of going on in real life right in Denver, Colorado right now. So somebody that I really care about had a friend of theirs murdered in 2022, and that trial is going on right now. And it's kind of, in my mind, a slam dunk, but they're in deliberations right now, and I don't know how it's going to go, but there's a lot of forensic evidence. And the difference being, in case you don't know, because there were some of these I didn't know, a lot of times people just assume circumstantial evidence is something that you can't prove, but it still has won a great many cases because it's circumstantial, meaning not necessarily that you can't prove it, but that it isn't forensic. Forensic is something you can touch, feel, see, whatever, prove via DNA, ballistics with bullets. You know, we found the smoking gun, literally all of those physical pieces of evidence. Circumstantial, while it sounds like it's not as important, is still, it's very easy to make a case with things, for instance, like computer science, or now that we have cell phones, you know, pinging.
Tracking.
Exactly, the tracking and pinging and finding somebody's cell phone counts as circumstantial evidence, I believe. And so let's say those phone calls from Nicole Brown Simpson, you know, where you can hear OJ screaming in the background and stuff, that is circumstantial evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a terrible time. But if we had then what we have now with the DNA and the blood prints and all of that actual forensic and circumstantial evidence, of course, OJ would have got convicted. And that's so silly that that didn't happen. But in case you are wondering, there is a difference, and circumstantial evidence is still very important, and it can really change a case. So let's say if you said, I didn't do it, and I can't prove that Lisa did it, that she, you know, stole my Salvatore shoes, but I look at her search history on the computer, it says, where do I get Salvatore shoes?
Does Shelly have Salvatore shoes? From Shelly's foot.
How do I break into a house in Arvada?
Yeah.
Those things are all equally important and can be equally damning. So true crime number 23, we're getting catchy, bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. Both forensic and circumstantial evidence are very important.
Nice.
There you go. That's lovely.
Thank you. What's your wow, Lise?
So mine is the headline. Oh, because I'm... My wow is about animals. 12-foot gator relocated after visiting Air Force Base twice.
Maybe just wanted to be in the
Air Force.
Why'd
they let him in again?
Well, May 20th. 12-foot alligator was relocated from Florida's MacDill Air Force Base twice before being found and relocated in another area. The 12-foot 4-inch gator was first spotted at the Tampa Bay Base in April and was found its way to the runaway. Wait, found its way to the runaway and
runway. Run, run, run away.
He's taxiing down the runaway.
Okay, this is take two. The 12-foot, 4-inch gator was first spotted at the Tampa base in April when it found its way to the runway and parked itself by the landing gear of the plane. You know what would be good is if I would read this in advance and then I wouldn't have a hard time reading it.
She doesn't even drink, folks.
You're adding some color.
Okay. The reptile was ejected and put in a second appearance last week outside the Med Group facilities. Base officials made arrangements for the alligator to be permanently relocated located to the Gatorama and Crocodile Adventures in Palmdale, the facility located about 155 miles away. Gatorama dubbed its new resident Major McDill.
Major!
In honor of the base.
That's nice. Silly.
So cute.
That is. That was a good one, Lise.
Yeah, I've been to that Palmdale place.
I love gators.
I like them when they're not chomping on me.
How fun was it
when we went down to Nolens and we went on that boat and we got to see the gators?
That was really cool.
That was really cool.
And it's like, I'm going to make boots out of you.
And I said, gator tastes good.
It sure does.
Better than chicken.
That's right. It really is.
Yeah, it's
great
good.
Great story, Lise. Mm-hmm.
Good, good. Well, if you guys are wondering why I did my weird, hey, wow, 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 wow.
What is that?
My thing is...
No, but guys, what song?
It wasn't my own wow, but it's...
I Can't Help Falling in Love with You by Elvis?
No. Wow, 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 wow. You know, it's the White Stripes.
Oh,
I'm going to Wichita.
I didn't try. I was trying to do it in the right deal, but the reason I did some Elvis sounding things, guys, do you know who the first people that were inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I'm going to say Elvis.
Well, let me just read off this wow of a list.
What?
It says the first group inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were Elvis Presley.
Ooh.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
James Brown.
Thank you. God, that's just, I looked down
Little
for
Richard.
A moment.
Fats Domino. Ray Charles.
People can't see that.
I can't see that.
Neither
yeah.
can Ray.
Yeah. Chuck Berry. Uh-huh. Sam Cooke, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
What a
there
list.
You go. That is a list.
On January 23rd, 1986.
That was the first Hall of Fame was first, in the 86?
Interesting. Well, don't they have to be 25 years?
Yeah. Yes.
What a group.
All-star
Good
affair.
Gosh. And you know how many of them there were there? Not many.
No?
Oh, because they were dead by then?
Yeah. No. I think James Brown, Little Richard, Fat Domino, Ray Charles.
Just Fat. Just not
one,
Fat.
No. No.
Fat, Fat.
Just one. Yo, just one Fat.
My boy
one
Fat.
One singular domino. What are we doing?
Yeah. So, But yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool one. I always wondered who was, you know, the first group to be inducted into
the...
That's really interesting.
And I didn't, like, I'm with you guys. I'm like, 1986? But yeah, so...
That's great.
Well, but yeah.
Your so that, musical wows are that, always fascinating.
That was my little musical wow. And, ladies, hey, thank you for listening to the wow.
The first Hall of Fame. Thank you. Yep, that was you great.
Before we sign off...
Mm-hmm. Hold
we,
on.
We,
We'd like to give homage
to some of our senior graduates this year that graduated from high school. These people are important to us or our listeners. So here is a list in a bit right now.
Hold on.
Okay.
don't say anything because you keep picking up everything. The graduation song.
Oh, wait.
Friends frequently mentioned on the web include graduation, friends forever, graduation march,
it's
graduation
called pomp and circumstance.
Okay, pomp and circumstance.
Welcome to Good Witch, Bad Witch. We don't try.
We don't try.
But we'll get you there. Okay, Lisa.
Without further ado, we would like to, these graduates of high school, we'd like to congratulate Maddie Lau, who is Rose Gelski's daughter, Camden Reed, who's Amanda Reed's son, Lucy Majors, who belongs to Mike and Sam Majors, Caden Valdez, who is your man, Witches and I's grandson. We have Cruz Vega, who's Nicole Martinez's son, Bailey Bernard, who is Stephanie Bernard's son.
Daughter.
Sorry. Daughter. Quincy Hensel, who is Kim Hensel's son. Madeline, who belongs to Jennifer Bates. And Irisha Miller, who belongs to Babette Romero Miller.
Well done, graduates. We're proud of all of you.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch.
Sandipus High School Football Rules!
Pokai Rules!
We don't try, but we'll get you there.
That's right.
That's it. That's our new motto. T-shirts will be out next month.
I have nothing else to say.
Thanks for hanging in there. Stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy.